Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. If you have questions about long-term care, insurance, investments, or preparing for the next phase of life, contact Gar and Leanne at LenanderAdvisory.com or call them at 651-365-5000. Lenander Financial will help you plan today for a better tomorrow. And now, here are Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. It's Leanne and Garwin Lenander. This morning with questions. We seem to get the same questions over
frequently,
and over.
Yeah, frequently
and over.
Asked questions.
So we're going to go back, and sometimes we've already done these. I know we've done questions before. But before we do it, and Bob comes racing in with a stick, Leanne, what's your phone number?
651-365-5000.
Mine is 651-436-3997. So I'll let Leanne start out with her biggest questions or some one of her questions.
One of the questions I get quite often is, what is the difference between mutual funds and ETFs or exchange-traded funds? You're dealing with a little bit of difference there between the mutual funds and the ETFs. Mutual funds, you have load and no load. Load means you have you pay a commission. No load means you don't. Fidelity is an example of a no load. If you are an individual investor, you'll go right to Fidelity. You don't have to pay a regular charge. Load means if you're working with somebody, they may go ahead and charge you a fee to go ahead and buy that fund. But when you're looking at exchange-traded funds, there is a difference, because exchange-traded funds, you go ahead and you buy them during the day like you buy a stock. A mutual fund generally settles at the end of the day, so you don't get the price until the next day. With an exchange-traded fund, you are following indexes, such as the S&P 500, and you buy it during the day like you do a stock, so you get that price at that time. And that's why a lot of people like that. It follows an index, but you can buy it, you know exactly what price you're paying for it that day, that moment, just like a stock. And so people like to use a lot of exchange-traded funds, but then they also find that a combination of the exchange-traded funds and mutual funds who are generally managed, have a manager in there, the combination works real well. Some people just like the exchange-traded funds. Some people like the mutual funds, because with mutual funds, you can add to it on a consistent basis. With an exchange-traded fund, you are going in with a specified amount of cash and buying something like you do a stock. And then when you add to it, you go ahead and you have to make that trade every day that you're going to add to it, and you'll get this different price every time depending upon where it is at that particular point in time.
You like both.
I like both. Not everybody does. With mutual funds, the nice thing is you have the flexibility of adding little amounts of money. So you could go in every month. If you do dollar cost averaging, you put in $50 this month, $50 the next month, it goes in and it buys so much. When exchange trade fund, you have to have more money available like you do when you buy an individual stock. And consequently, the combination of the two works very well together.
Okay. One of the big questions I've been getting recently, but more within the last year, is people are talking, of course, they're concerned about, gee, if I become disabled and I don't want my family to run out of money taking care of me, they're really talking about long-term care. But one of the things that they're really concerned about is, gee, if I buy a long-term care policy and I never use it, the company gets to keep my money. Correct? And the answer is correct. The old traditional long-term care policies, if you don't use it, it's like auto insurance. You could drive for 50 years, never have a fender bender, and they keep all your money. That's what insurance is about. It's spreading the risk, and you got taken to the cleaners with the risk. But new long-term care policies are not really necessarily long-term care. They're called critical care.
Now, that is something that we've just recently heard about.
Critical care policies say that if you have a claim, if you don't have a claim, and particularly if it's a rider to a life insurance or an annuity and don't have a claim, we'll give your money back. So let's assume, make a real simple statement. If you put in $1,000 a year for the next 25 years, and then you say at retirement, gee, you know what, I put in $25,000 and I don't care about my critical care coverage. I want my money back. May I get it back? And the answer is yes. They'll turn around and pay you X number of dollars a year for the next 10 years. So you're covered for coverage today for long-term care, or coverage in the retirement for long-term care, your coverage today for a death benefit or an annuity coverage, and or you get your money back at retirement. So it's a win-win-win for the client. And the other thing is, now they've come out with some things that it used to be it had to be a single premium. No longer has to be a single premium.
Now, explain single premium, because single premium says
in order to buy this, you got to give me $23,000 up front.
One lump.
No longer necessary. That makes it a lot more palatable to many, many people. You can do a 10 pay, a full pay, maybe to 65, or a one pay. If you got the money, that's fine. There are many different varieties of coverage to cover that long-term care need that we didn't have even as near as 2 years ago. And it makes it a lot more easy. It makes it a lot easier for the people to put that money out and get the coverage rather than say, I just can't afford it.
Well, the critical care came from overseas, didn't it?
Critical care came from overseas, and that's a critical. There is a specific policy called critical care, but then the critical care became a rider on top of the life and or the annuities.
Just think about everything that has changed in the insurance industry.
In my 48 or 49 years in the business,
you're now
dramatic.
Now. Don't tell me your age.
All right, well, I'm only 36. So.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Leanne. What's your question?
Well, one of the things that comes up quite often is, should I buy individual stocks versus mutual funds or ETFs? Well, if you like an individual stock and you really understand that particular stock,
and willing to take the risk.
Willing to take the risk, because the risk is just that one company. And Apple, think if you just bought Apple when it first came out, my goodness, and look at how it's grown.
Have made money?
They would have made a lot of money. But in some cases, those companies go broke.
Yeah, and that's one of the risks.
Or there's a problem. So if you want to look at having diversification and not having all your eggs in one basket, you should look at mutual funds or ETFs for the diversification. You can still have individual stocks, too. But if you're going to have individual stocks, don't have just one. You have to have more than one to really diversify your money. Because, like I said, if that stock goes bad, man, down the toilet it'll go. And there goes some of your money.
So most of your money.
What kind of allocation should you have if you were going to buy individuals? Would you do 10% in one stock and 10% in a different stock, or what percentages would you do?
You have to look at, first of all, how much money you can spend. Then you have to look at your age and how much time you feel that you want to put into letting that stock grow. And also the thing is, what else do you have in your portfolio? If it's only going to be one stock or two stocks and you put all your money there, that's a little difficult for the individual. So if you're young, you could take more of an aggressive stance. If you're older, you don't want it all in one place. So it depends upon your age, your risk tolerance, and your knowledge, too. Did you really study that stock? For instance, many, many years ago, the airlines were in trouble. So a lot of the airlines were in trouble, and I know one individual who wanted one particular stock in the airline industry, and that particular stock, he threw a lot of money into it. He told me, he said, I want to buy this stock. And he had been into talk. He had other assets out there, but he put a lot of money in that one individual stock, and that airline went bust. So you have to look at diversification. Don't buy just one stock. You have to have other stocks, or you have to have other investments besides that one individual stock.
What if some of our listeners have a son or a child or daughter or a grandchildren that part of their compensation, they get stock from that company and that they're working for? And so they're building up just tons and tons of stock for the company that they're working for. What do you advise in that situation?
Well, in a case like that, they can go ahead and give some of that stock to that son or daughter.
No, I'm talking about the grandchild.
The kids
are working there. The kids are employed.
working at a company A, and you know, maybe they're, you know, maybe they're listening to the show and say, hey, my son gets tons and tons of stock from this company as part of his compensation, and it's, he probably only has exclusively that stock.
Well, he may have, but if he's worked for that company for a long time, you've got to understand one other thing. He most likely has a retirement account there.
Okay.
And it's probably in that stock, too. That's the problem.
Or the 401k or something like that. So, yes, they get the individual stock, but I would venture to stay on the sidelines or probably in a retirement program that will allocate the money into different areas. And at some point in time, that individual who's working for that company will be leaving that company, and then he can change, he or she can change the amount of stocks that they have.
But that's not the question Bob asked.
Yeah. No.
The question was, what does Mom and Dad tell Junior, mm-hmm. who's getting the stock as a bonus?
Yeah.
What should he do with it?
But then what I'm saying is he can keep that stock or he can diversify. He's getting that bonus, and when he leaves the company, he can make a change.
Only when he leaves, but what if he stays with that company?
It depends upon how.
He may not be able to. That's the problem.
He may not be able to. Well, and there's nothing he can do until he does leave.
That's the problem, is many times people just don't have a choice. You are locked there.
Okay.
And it can be very bad, very dangerous, because your entire asset base could be mm-hmm. locked into that one company.
I'm just going to give an example. A very good friend of ours worked for 3M for years and years and years. He had a lot of 3M stock.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, his retirement had a lot of different things available to him. So when he retired, he had all this 3M stock, but he also had his retirement account that held a lot of other things besides 3M. So he was really diversified. And 3M had people working with the employees to diversify, to not own just one stock.
And that's one of the benefits of a big company. If it's JB Construction, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's JB, JJJJ Construction,
yeah.
He may not have a choice.
Right.
And that can be very dangerous.
Kind of tricky.
And he may not be able to do the bottom.
Okay.
And then the thing is, outside of the company, he has to diversify.
Yeah,
if he can't do anything with that stock, he gets all this stock, then outside of the company.
On his own.
On his own, he has to diversify mm-hmm. because I've seen some companies go under.
Okay.
Right. Yes, several of them. Leanne, give your phone number quickly.
651-365-5000.
Minus 651-436-3997. I got a minute. That's all I got.
That's it.
A question comes up always when I talk to young people, particularly about life insurance. Well, I got some at work. And I invariably get the answer, how much? I don't know. And it's typically one or two times their income. And that's all they got. Well, that's enough. And you just got to think about that. That is, human life value is much more. If you're 30 years old and you're making $30,000 a year, you got 30 years. That's $900,000 you're going to make. You better have more life insurance. It's not enough. So, Leanne, we get these same questions over and over and over.
But you see, we know that these are some of the basic questions mm-hmm. that people have.
Yep.
And that's why when we get these questions and we get them constantly, like you say, it's important for people to understand.
We'd like to thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. If you got a question, give us a call. Love to have questions. Join us again next week on the Wise Money Show.
Experience counts now more than ever when it's time to trust your finances to someone else. Experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KOVB. If you have questions, comments, or concerns about topics discussed today, or would like to submit questions to be discussed in the show, please contact Wise Money at LenanderAdvisory.com. These shows are also available on podcast at klbbradio.com. Join us again next week at 11:45 a.m. for another edition of Wise Money with Gar and Leanne Lenander on Club 1220 KLBB.